that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon each of us. Fill my mouth with your words and apply them to each of us, O God, with the power and conviction of the Holy Spirit, that we would be transformed into the image of Christ. Come, O Lord, and fill this place with your kingdom and your glory. Amen. And please be seated. But today is the Sunday of Pentecost, when preachers are compelled to share everything there is to say about the Holy Spirit. Not really. The Holy Spirit is with us every day. And you'll notice, just as you pay particular attention to our liturgy, the Holy Spirit is constantly called upon, constantly asked for. And we have space for the Holy Spirit to move and work in our lives. So today I want to address the Holy Spirit in terms of the prayers and requests that Jesus makes on our behalf and how they are answered and fulfilled through God's outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So in John's Gospel that Father Joe just read, we hear Jesus telling his disciples in the midst of this larger conversation how he is sharing with them that he is going to go away. And that it's actually better for them that he goes away, because he will send to them another helper, the Holy Spirit. And in John 14, 16, Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So here is Jesus' promise to us. He is going to pray to the Father on our behalf that the Father would give to us the Holy Spirit, another helper, another one like Christ. And he is the Spirit of the Father and of the Son who comes to dwell with us. This is what is fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. For those 100-plus disciples who were in the upper room all together praying, and on the day of Pentecost, God poured out the Holy Spirit upon them and filled them with his Spirit. They saw that image of tongues of fire come upon each of them. They began uttering in multiple language the works and wonders of God. And as was read in Acts 2, 1 through 21, Peter responds to the queries of those who gathered around hearing all of this. And you may remember hearing that some folks who saw that said, "These guys are drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They're already drunk." And Peter responds and says, "We're not drunk. You're right. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what God has promised." And he goes on to share with them the prophecy of the prophet Joel, who promised that in the last days, God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And then he gives some signs that would indicate that: prophecy, dreams, visions, signs, and wonders. And after Peter preaches that sermon by the power of the Holy Spirit, the people are convicted. They're humbled. And they ask Peter, "What shall we do?" And Peter said to them in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord calls to himself." And there, the Holy Spirit was poured out on 3,000 more disciples who became followers of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit has been being poured out upon people ever since, as the gospel goes throughout the world, as people turn to Jesus and call upon his name every day. To each and every one of them, God gives this gift, this promise of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. So for each of us who have called upon the name of the Lord, who have asked God to forgive our sins, to come into our lives that we might be reborn, to each of us, God gives the Holy Spirit. The promise is for us. What Peter and the other disciples experienced as far as being filled with the Spirit and empowered by him is the promise God offers to us, because that's what Jesus asked him. that he would give to us the Helper, the Holy Spirit, and he does. What else did Jesus ask for his followers? Last week, you may remember, the gospel reading was John 17. That's the prayer that Jesus makes before he's arrested, before he goes to the cross. In that prayer, he prayed some specific things for us and all of his followers. In John 17, 15, Jesus asked the Father in this prayer, "I do not ask you that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." The evil one whom Jesus had also called the prince and ruler of this world. The one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The one whom Jesus said was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. So Jesus prays that the Father would protect all of his followers, that's us, from the evil one, from the spirit of the world. And that's what the Holy Spirit is given to us to do. He is the one who comes and he protects us from the evil of this world. He protects us from the deceptions and the seductions of the spirit of this world. He protects us from harm and evil that come to us in so many directions in this fallen world. Listen to what Jesus says the Holy Spirit will do in our lives in John 16, beginning in verse 7. This is in the same larger conversation as our gospel today. He said to his followers, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you." What is Jesus saying? He says this remarkable statement that it's better for you that I go away so that the Holy Spirit can come to you. That's remarkable. It would be, I think, easier to understand if Jesus were standing here in our midst. But Jesus said it's better that rather than me standing here with you, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Father and the Son, comes to live in you. And as he comes to live in you, one of the things the Holy Spirit, also called the Spirit of Truth, will do is he will lead you into all truth. He will lead you from the lies and the deceptions of this world and into the truth of God. And he'll do that by taking from the kingdom of heaven and giving it to you. He will declare to you the truths of God's kingdom. And by sharing with you truth and leading you into that truth, he will protect you from the evil that is in this world. Later in Jesus' prayer, in John 17, 17, he prays to the Father that God will sanctify his disciples in truth. He prays, "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth." And this is what the Holy Spirit has come to do. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us. That is, you can describe being sanctified as being made holy, being conformed to the image of Christ, being healed through and through, body, soul, spirit, having the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ. And this is what the Holy Spirit does in us. And he does it by using the Word of God, the Scripture. We see this after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the disciples and then 3,000 others. And then following that episode, Luke writes in Acts 2, verse 42, that all of those disciples who had received the Holy Spirit, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And I think this is of key significance for us. The Holy Spirit comes to transform us into the image of Christ. And how does he do that? He sanctifies us in the truth. The Word of God is truth. And so you see what he does immediately after the day of Pentecost is he stirs up in the followers of Jesus a devotion to the Word of God, to the gospel, and to each other, to the prayers, and to the breaking of bread. That is, to the sacrament of communion that Jesus had instituted for them. What the Holy Spirit does is he binds the people of God together around the gospel, the word of Christ, and the sacrament of communion. The Holy Spirit is going to do that in those he inhabits. He will lead us to the word of God. He will put it on our hearts to read and meditate upon the word of God. And he will use the word of God to teach us and lead us into truth. And he won't just do that to us on our own. He will bring us together with other believers where we can learn and grow together. And I believe that the Holy Spirit will lead us to the table to receive communion together, to be bound together at that sacrament. And so when we have communion today, when Father Joe prays the prayers over the bread and the wine, listen to exactly what he prays. He prays that God would sanctify the bread and the wine by his word and his Holy Spirit to be for us the body and blood of Christ. The Holy Spirit and the word bring us together and conform us to God's image, bringing us to communion. So that is something the Holy Spirit does. He inspires us to read and study God's word and to come together as a body. Also in John's chapter 17, verse 22, Jesus prays for us for that specific purpose. He prays to the Father that the glory that the Father has given to Jesus would be given to us, his followers, that we may be one even as the Father and the Son are one. And Jesus says, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved me, so the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. The Holy Spirit is going to bring us together. He's not going to come and fill us and then let us go do our own thing. The Holy Spirit protects us from evil. He leads us into the truth by God's word, and he makes us one with other members of the body of Christ. This is something the Holy Spirit does. He builds the church by bringing us together. And this is what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it's really highlighted and emphasized there, and then also in chapter 14. God is bringing people together by the work of the Holy Spirit. He writes that in beginning in verse 4, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And then he lists them. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit brings us together, and he gives to each and every one of us gifts for ministry. To each of us. He's made us a member of the body of Christ and given us and empowered in us gifts to contribute to the building up of his church and for the common good. Just as the body has many members, we are one. And concerning the spiritual gifts, Paul says in the beginning of chapter 12, I don't want you to be uninformed regarding spiritual gifts. And then in the beginning of chapter 14, he says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. so eagerly desire spiritual gifts to contribute to the service and ministry of the church, both within and also without, for its building up. And what I want to say about spiritual gifts today is just briefly that I believe in them all. And not only those listed, but additional ones. Those listed plus what the Spirit desires to do among us. Something that we learn from Scripture is that we don't learn how to live in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God. We don't learn how to live as Christians through the world or by figuring things out on our own. We learn to live as God's children by the revelation that He gives to us through His Spirit and through His Word and through the body of Christ. And what is revealed to us in Scripture is that the Holy Spirit has been given to each of us, that He leads us into truth, conforming us to Christ, and that He empowers spiritual gifts in each one of us as members of His body. And what the Scriptures encourage us to do is to grow in our ministries, to grow in the use and development of our spiritual gifts, and even to desire more spiritual gifts. And then finally, Jesus prays a remarkable prayer for us. At the conclusion of His prayer in John 17, He prays this, that the love that the Father has for the Son would be in us. So think about the relationship between Jesus and His Father and the love that the Heavenly Father has for God the Son. It's mind-blowing. And what Jesus says is He prays to the Father that that very love that the Father has for Jesus would be in us. Now, how is that prayer being answered? God is love. So what that means is that God, who is love, would come and inhabit us and be love in us. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul shares in Romans 5, verse 5. The love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The love of God has been and is being and will be poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This is why we cannot invite the Holy Spirit into our lives enough. This is why a daily prayer regularly is, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill my heart with love. Bear in me your fruit. Give to me your gifts. Lead me in truth. Protect me from evil. Transform me into the image of Christ." And what Jesus says in His prayer is that all of this is not only for our building up and our edification, but it is also so that the world outside the body of Christ, outside the church, may see the witness of the church that is now clothed in the Holy Spirit from on high and filled with the Spirit and being transformed, so that the world may see that very church, us even, and know that they are loved by God and that God has sent Jesus into the world for their salvation. And so that, as Peter concludes his sermon and concludes his citation of the prophecy of Joel, the Spirit has been poured out on all flesh so that it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May God fulfill His purpose in us and fulfill His purpose through us, both for us and for those outside the church, that they may be inspired to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Amen.